Welcome, fellow infidels. On the line right now is Dr. Waleed Ferez. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. And your work, I mean, your work is very important. I've been following and really in the leading movement in the study of counterterrorism. Thank you.
The founder of 9/11 Families for a Secure America, Peter Gaudiel, say hello.
Hello.
And we have Deborah Burlingame, who's joined us now. Deborah, thank you so much for coming on board tonight.
Daddy, it's my pleasure. In a nutshell, I'm a sister. My big brother was the pilot of American Airlines Flight 77.
If you like, Clavin, I'll let you say hello because he's already waiting in the wings. Andrew, good evening.
Good evening, Gotti. I only want to tell your audience that I had nothing to do with this and I take no responsibility for you.
Chris Carter is with the Victory Institute. Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, it's the Victory Institute, and simply put, what we are, Gotti, is we're a veteran service organization.
We do have the producer, Harmon Caslow. He's the producer of the movie Atlas Shrugged, Part 1. You are on the show. Welcome.
Oh, no, it's great to be back, and I really enjoyed our conversation earlier today. It's fabulous.
The Holocaust Survivor Cookbook, and we have and are honored tonight to have with us the author of that book, Joanne Carras, is on. Say hello, Joanne.
Hi. I just want to thank you so much for giving me this wonderful opportunity to talk to your viewers.
And we will tell everybody, we have Chuck Holton on the line. He's been on the show, and Chuck, don't tell me if I get this wrong. I want to say 3 times? Is this your 4th?
Good question.
I don't feel so bad. How are you? Ooh, Eric Stackelback. How are we doing, Eric?
Gotti, I'm doing great. It's so great to be here. But Gotti, I have to say, it was such a pleasure being on with you, and let's do it again. Absolutely,
love the
my
book.
Friend.
Love
Thank,
the book.
I appreciate
Good
it very much. God bless you. God bless all your listeners, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Eric. You take care.
Take care, my friend. You too. Bye-bye.
Hello, everybody. Wild Bill for America here, ready to get this party going.
America above, fellow.
Welcome, fellow infidels, to another episode of America Akbar with Gotti Edelman. I am your host, Gotti Edelman, and hopefully we'll get the sound just right here. And I've got to bring in this important person so we can find out. Let's see if this button works. Hey, Reese, how we sounding?
You sound good. At least it sounds good to me.
Is it too loud? Well, we'll just ask the people in the chat room. I see the rabbis in the chat room already. So people in the chat room, tell me if I need to turn up or down the volume, up or down the treble. New mic, new system. You should be able to hear every little nuance, and hopefully I'll sound a lot better now. But anyway, Reese, how are we doing?
We are doing super.
Have we had a chance to check any of these callers? Like, all of a sudden, everything is lighting up here.
Up. No,
well,
I'll check on it in a little bit.
No. Let me fill you in here because there's one that I know for sure that we're not recognizing, and that's the one ends in digit 49. That would probably be Wild Bill.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So if he didn't answer, he might have been away from his telephone for a while. Everybody, so Susan, thank you. Susan in the chat room is letting me know sounds good. Everybody, I want you guys just to let me know. I know usually when I listen to the podcast, for some reason, my old microphone was actually, I would sound quieter or a lower volume than even the guests calling in on the phone or anybody else. So you need to let me know if I'm on the same volume as Reese, if I need to be turned up, need to be turned down, just so we can get this all straight. Anyway. So, I'm excited, Reese. We got a ton of stuff going on. And that's where you would say, okay, what do we have going on? But all right, I can do this
myself. I was waiting for you to tell me.
You could do this radio. People can't see you. You got to ask these things. Anyway, so tonight we're going to have, aside from Wild Bill for America, who spoke to me earlier today on the telephone, and I know he will be here if that's not already him waiting in the wings, we're going to have Rabbi Ariel Nachman on as our guest. And he and I are going to continue where we left off. For those that didn't read my article, you're going to get lost. No, I'm just kidding. For those that didn't read my article, shame on you. But hopefully you read my article last week because it was a joint effort between myself and the rabbi. And We're going to continue where we left off. Surprisingly, and I say that in all seriousness, surprisingly, a lot of people, Reese, wrote comments that basically said, well, nowhere in the article did you tell us what the future holds. And as the rabbi put it best, read the book. Don't bother to wait for the movie. Read the book.
Well, I don't know. For the past 2 years that we've known, 2.5 years that we've known each other, you've pretty much predicted the future. If people are just paying attention, there's a reason why I say if you want to be ahead of the pundits, listen to Gadi Edelman, because you've called it all the time. And I know that there are times that you wish you weren't calling it, because unfortunately it always seems to be the not-so-good stuff that you're able to call spot on.
Like the upcoming war with Iran and Israel? Yeah, I would say that's something I don't want to call, but have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Let me hope. Let me be the first to say that I really hope I'm way off and wrong on that one. But no, the book that the rabbi is referring to, people, if you didn't read the article, you're not going to get the gist of it. It would be called The Bible. So for those of you that are not Jewish, we would call it the Old Testament. See, us Jews, we don't call it the Old Testament. We just call it the Bible or Scripture. So read the book. You can see what's coming. But yeah, so the rabbi and I will definitely be discussing that. And Rabbi Nachman, or as Vito loves to say, Rabbi Nachman, you can... You can call in any time. I have got a fruit fly in my studio, and it is driving me nuts. There, did I sound like, what's his face there for a second?
I don't know, but you did sound a little bit nuts.
Yeah, no, the crazies. Did I sound like him there?
Yes,
when I said that?
Yes. You almost sounded like Chris Christie.
Yeah, Chris Christie, that's the one. Him and the crazies. I'm getting tired of the crazies, the Sharia law crazy. It's all crap. Whatever. Anyway, I still can't believe he's going to be doing the opening speech at the that's just so frightening. I don't even want to think about it. It is complicated. Or you know, it's like, I don't know.
It's getting way too complicated for me.
It's getting way too complicated for me.
Thank you,
know you what I'm
Mr.
saying?
President.
Exactly. Do we still call him that? Do we have to call him that?
I don't know. I think that's probably the first time I ever have.
You know what? I think as far as I'm familiar, it is the first time you've ever said that.
I've always called him Bo.
Anyway, so do me a favor, Reese, while I get started trying to find Yes People. I was running late again tonight. Gee, what a shocker. And I haven't gotten all my stuff in line yet, but it gives people time to fill up in the chat room. I see the people are still coming in. So let me get my thoughts together. Okay, dead air. Everybody just go about what you were doing. Nothing to see here. Here, we'll play this for starters, and that'll give me a chance. For some reason, Reese, when I'm pushing the buttons on this thing, instead of actually playing the piece, it's actually just jumping, and I don't know what's causing that. The whole screen just jumped. Yeah, it's not everywhere.
So this Sharia law business is crap. It's just crazy. And I'm tired of dealing with the crazies.
The Sharia law business is crap. It's crazy. And I'm just tired of dealing with the crazies. Whatever. Anyway, so do me a favor and check out line 4 and see if that if that is Wild Bill. And I will get started with the news, because there is a ton of news that I wanted to cover before the rabbi calls in. Rabbi, call in any time. And we're going to get started with Reese introducing the news as she does every week. So without further ado.
It's just past 8 o'clock, and it's time for your national and international news here on America Akbar.
Now, this is really, really bizarre for me, because I'm using headphones, and I've never done that before. You know, I used to have a headset mic, but I never put the ear thingies over my ears because I use speakers, and now I'm using headphones. So this is going to take a lot of getting used to, so I apologize to everybody. But anyway, in the news today, first we're going to start with the domestic news, because today 10 different immigration and custom enforcement agents that would otherwise be known as ICE filed a federal lawsuit against the Obama administration, seeking an end to President Barack Obama's new non-deportation policy, which is known as the Obama's Dream Act, According to the ICE agents union, the ICE agents filed a lawsuit in federal court in one of the states most affected by the Obama policy, which is Texas. The agents allege that President Obama's policies have reduced the number of illegal aliens who will be deported back to their country of origin. The ICE agents allege in their lawsuit that the Obama executive order causes a confusing situation in which they must choose between enforcing federal laws or being disciplined by their commanders or obeying their supervisors, thereby violating oaths of office and a Clinton administration law passed by a bipartisan Congress back in 1996 that mandates the deportation of all illegal aliens. Now, Chris Kobach, the Secretary of State in Kansas, is representing the ICE agents in their lawsuit. Kobach has been a leading voice in support of state immigration legislation, such as Arizona's controversial law. In the 20-page legal complaint, the agents state they've been ordered to ignore an entire category of illegal aliens. The agents allege they were told to stop requesting proof of citizenship or immigration status. Quote, Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano and her underlings want their agents and officers to just take the word of an illegal alien without verifying his or her statement, said former police commander David Scheer. Quote, it's as ridiculous as releasing a suspected bank robber who states he didn't commit the robbery without any verification by police officers, end quote. Senator David Vitter, who's a ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, recently slammed President Barack Obama's immigration policy changes during an appearance on Fox News. Vitter told anchor Shannon Beam that he and a number of senators are joining federal law enforcement officials in blocking Obama's attempt at incremental amnesty through fiat. Vitter said that he supports the fight against the White House by Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, who held a press conference televised on Fox News today, along with officials from two major unions that represent a federal law enforcement agency, in order to increase national awareness of the Obama administration's continued descent into lawlessness. You know, rather than reading the rest of this, I'm going to go off on one of my rants. And Brees, I'm assuming that was Bill, so I'm going to open his mic up. Bill, how you doing?
Hey, Gotti, I'm doing good. You already got me steaming here. I'm trying to think back at my 20 years of law enforcement, if I was ever told not to enforce a law.
Well, you know, this is what kills me, and this is where I was going to go off on my rant. Aside from the obvious, which is that these guys have to basically, you know, you take an oath of office, just like any individual who goes into public office takes an oath of office to uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and then depending on whether you're in a local law enforcement area, whether you're federal law enforcement or what have you, there's other additions to that oath of upholding your state law, your local laws, and so on and so forth. These guys are absolutely right. And they have just the fact that they even had to file a lawsuit is mind-boggling. They're being told by the stroke of a pen, by executive order from our illustrious Sheikh Obama, just look the other way, and if you do stop them, ask them whether or not they're illegal. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. Ask them whether or not they were brought here as a child, and, you know, they don't even have to show you their paperwork. You know, this is the precedent that this set, and it's something that we've not yet covered here, Bill, and here's my big concern. Right now, it is specific. It is specific to those that have crossed over the border from Mexico who are of Mexican descent. So when are we going to start to have the other individuals who crossed over our borders illegally, who are not necessarily Mexican, who say, well, wait a minute. I came here illegally as a child, even though I'm from, Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or any other terrorist-known country. My parents dragged me here. Why don't I have the same rights as the Mexican guy? And that is the slippery slope that we are headed down. Why don't we just open up the frickin' borders and say the heck with it?
That's the liberals' agenda, opening the borders. Zero borders. We're one big happy planet, Gotti. That's why we are embracing anybody and everybody who wants to come across that border. And if you want to know when they're going to open it up to the Pakistanis and everybody else, it'll be the day after the Pakistanis start donating to the Democrats.
Well, you're right. This is what the liberals want. So I wish I knew what was going on with my computer here. Every time I hit a button, there we go. Wait a little more. Just in the background, quiet. There we go. You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. Let's just all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And, you know, if we're nice to them, they'll be nice to us. So it doesn't matter that the people that are crossing the southern border right now are leaving prayer rugs on people's property and on ranches throughout the Southwest. It doesn't matter that they're leaving Qurans laying around. They're going to be good people, and if we're just nice to them, they'll be nice to us. How was that for perfect timing on the music?
That was great, yeah.
Wish I could close my show out that well.
I did see another picture that disturbed me, Gotti. I'd like to get your take on when we get a chance. You know, not right now, but it was a whole bunch of U.S. soldiers bowing down on their prayer rugs, headed facing Mecca and praying to Allah.
You know, we need Bill. This really turns my stomach, and it's a shame. It's really a shame, and let me explain what I mean by that. I don't believe that anyone who refers to themselves as a Muslim has the right to be in the U.S. military. And we've discussed that before here on the show. But by the same token, I don't want to be labeled someone who is anti-religion or anti-religious. But people need to understand Islam is not a religion. And when you get these yahoos who are either converted in prison, converted in the military, converted before they went in, or just straight-up Muslims who happen to join our military, they don't belong wearing the same uniform. We've got so much, what are they calling it? Blue on green or green on blue terrorism right now in Afghanistan, where our boys and girls and men and women are being shot and killed by Afghan-dressed, uniformed police officers and military people. You know, we've already had people that were Muslim in this country, not in this country, who are Muslim, who joined the U.S. military, who attacked their own units. You know, I remember that back in Iraq when the guy threw the hand grenade and sprayed it with machine gun fire. You know, why do people forget this? They don't belong in the U.S. military.
Well, I don't think you're going to have any luck convincing people that Islam is not a religion. It's got all the trappings. But it is a religion that is absolutely dedicated to sedition. And I think that's the angle we need to take on. Because Islam is absolutely dedicated to overthrowing every single government that's not Islamic, there's no way that those guys can take the American oath of office and be trusted to hold to it.
Exactly. Well, that's their whole mission statement. And how many guys have we already seen, and I say guys because I haven't heard of any women thus far, but how many guys have we already seen in the U.S. military who, once they receive their orders and they're supposed to go overseas, say, now I want to be a conscientious objector now. Doesn't matter that I've been in the military for 2 years. Doesn't matter that I already went through basic training. Doesn't matter that I was trained as an infantry person. Doesn't matter that I took an oath of office. Doesn't matter that I knew when I joined up that we were at war with people in Afghanistan and at a war on terrorism, or as Napolitano calls it, man-made catastrophes. It doesn't matter. All that doesn't matter. Now I'd like to invoke conscientious objector status after all that because I'm a Muslim and I can't fight my brothers. Well, if you can't fight your brothers, why are you in the U.S. military?
Well, never forget the effectiveness of Taqiya. You remember, you're probably too young to remember Vietnam, but one of the problems in one of the problems in combat in Vietnam was that when things got tough, every once in a while, some of the Vietnamese would just decide they're going to start being communists, and they would just turn and start killing American soldiers. It was a nightmarish situation, and what a coup it would be for the Islamists if they could get U.S. soldiers to turn on each other in the middle of combat. And I see that happening if we don't get Obama and his fools out of office.
No, I agree 100%. You know, this has gone way overboard. We already know that the military has, when it comes to gang problems, people joining up from MS-13 and the likes of that to get training, to steal weaponry, and, you know, that's been an ongoing situation. And now we have it with the Muslims. I think the only reason we haven't seen any female Muslims come out with this, and I'm waiting for the day when one of them tries to bitch that she can't wear her hijab while she's going through basic training. I mean, that's what we're in for. That's going to be the next step, is going to be when the women start complaining that they can't wear their head coverings while they're in the service. I can't wait to see that one.
Well, you know,
Tammy covering over her whole head, and you know, maybe make her a sniper so she can wear a what do they call those, a ghillie suit?
A ghillie suit.
You know, and she could be a bunch of skies. I mean, it's ridiculous, Rabbi. I've opened your microphone. Rabbi Nachman's on the line. You can chime in any time because I know your ears are probably as red as mine.
I'm sorry, I fell asleep.
Oh, okay. Rabbi, put Zeta on the line if you're going to sleep, though.
Yeah, I'm on.
Did you seriously fall asleep?
Is no, that what I this was kidding.
Really went down to? I mean, I can, you know, we can give you a round of applause for that, but I'm not going to bother. Rabbi, any comments on the on what Bill was bringing up there as far as Muslims in the military?
Well, I don't see how you can have any Muslims in the military because you have to take an oath. And how do you know that that oath is actually any good or not?
Same way that Chris Ellison took the oath when he put his hand on the Quran and became a congressman. For those that don't know the thing, the rabbi is a veteran, was in the United States Air Force. So, you know, he comes at this from a lot of different angles, including a U.S. veteran.
Yeah, but Ellison's a wimp. He's not going to shoot anybody. We can keep an eye on him in Congress. I'm concerned about having Islamists right next to our Marines holding a rifle or a hand grenade. This is getting to the level of foolishness. I mean, in World War II, I don't think we had any of our soldiers who were members of the Nazi Party that were allowed to take the oath of office and serve, did we?
You know, and that's the whole thing. That's the gray area and that fine line that this illustrious administration, and not just this administration, but even the one before it with the Bush administration, where they tried to differentiate the difference between radical Islam and regular Islam. And that is why day in and day out I tell people there is no such thing as radical Islam. If you say there's such a thing as radical Islam, you're using a PC, politically correct term, and you're implying that there's such a thing as moderate Islams. And I'll tell you, moderate Muslims. And I'll tell you where that gets you. That gets you people like Nidal Hassan, the Fort Hood shooter. That's where your moderate Islam gets you.
Well, yeah, there was an imam on the internet the other day in an article. He was extremely outraged that people say that there is such a thing as radical Islam. He says, no, Islam is Islam. So you've got imams echoing you right there.
Good, I'm glad.
Well, under the Bush administration, we actually had a soldier who fragged his fellow soldiers, the one that...
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, the Muslim that tossed the grenade into the tent.
That's what I was talking about while you were sleeping, Rabbi. Yeah, the guy that took place during... I don't remember if that was Kuwait or Iraq. I think I misspoke. I said Iraq. It might have been in Kuwait.
I don't remember. I think you're right. I think it was actually in Kuwait. But the point is still the same. I mean, how do you know?
Well, that's it, Rabbi. There's no way to know, and that's why we have to take action. As far as I'm concerned, anybody takes that who bows down to Mecca has no business being in the military. And I've got a video in the works on that. I have a script written up. Going out to our military people saying, you can no longer trust the commander-in-chief to protect you, and I want every military person on active duty to be armed at all times. See, a lot of people don't know this, but when these guys are on the base, quite often they are disarmed. Even the military police officers guarding the gate usually have no bullets in their weapons, and these soldiers and Marines need to start carrying pocket pistols, Second Amendment style, the way we do here in the States, because it might just save their lives.
Isn't that kind of like the Andy Griffith kind of way of handling the military.
Exactly.
Remember, Andy Griffith had Barney Fife,
and
he gave him one bullet that he had to keep in his pocket.
That's
yeah.
right. We talked about that on this show before, too, because there's been many instances where I could fill an entire 2 hours and give you many instances where, had our guys been armed, the end result with dead Americans would not have happened. Starting back in 1983 with Hezbollah doing a suicide bombing on the U.S. Marine barracks. You know, it's so ridiculous that our guys cannot even put the magazine in the weapon without permission from the commanding officer. And that's exactly what took place in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, guys, let me real quick, and we can get back to this if you want. Real quick, I want to just read one more piece of domestic news, because this is actually pretty funny. And then after that, we'll take our half-hour break. Not a break for a half-hour, but our on-the-half-hour break. This one cracks me up because, you know, CARE was jumping, Council on American Islamic Relations, was jumping all over this one, saying it was a hate crime. And for those that aren't familiar, I'll give you a lead-in. Somebody left some bacon out somewhere during Ramadan, and prayers were scheduled. But anyway, it turns out it was not a hate crime. And an anonymous caller to the police department took responsibility for the what is being known as the Ramadan bacon incident on Staten Island. So I got to read you this story because it cracks me up. An anonymous caller is taking credit for Sunday morning's possible hate crime at New Dorp Beach Field, where morning Ramadan prayers were scheduled, claiming in a message that he had been discarding spoiled bacon when he left it on the field. The caller, and this is being read from the actual voicemail that was left. This is so-and-so. I was reading in an article about the horrible incident of bacon and Muslims in the park, and I wanted to let you know that is not my intention, said the male caller in a 920 message. He stopped short of saying his name. I had put the bacon there. It was going bad in my trunk, and I put it out for scavengers like possums, raccoons, seagulls, and I did not intend for that to cause anybody any problems. It was not any type of anti-Muslim act, and I did not want to offend anyone in any way. Thank you and have a good day. that message was left for a reporter in a newspaper out of Staten Island called The Advance. The Advance then informed the NYPD of the message, and a spokeswoman for the Deputy Commissioner of Public Information declined to discuss it except to say that it's currently under investigation. This incident is being investigated by the Hate Crime Task Force, and anyone with information is asked to call Crime Stoppers, and all calls will be confidential, said the spokeswoman. Organizers of the end of Ramadan ceremony found several strips of bacon strewn around on John DiAdamo Field around 8 a.m. Sunday, and they called NYPD. One person who saw the bacon said it was found deep into an athletic field at least 50 or 60 feet away from any roadway, and a photo of the bacon shows it close to the painted lines of the soccer field. The end of Ramadan ceremony, which drew about 1,500 worshippers to the field, was widely publicized in the days leading up to the event. So the NYPD is also investigating a hateful comment that had been posted on SILLive.com, a story about the Ramadan event, blah, 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 saying it may be linked to the bacon. The comment posted hours before the celebration by a user with the name of 007 Midland included a threat to bring a pig to the event as well as committing vulgar acts. The police sources said that an NBC News reporter erred yesterday in stating that a note was left along with the bacon that was signed by someone who used a code name and referenced a website, but that turned out to be incorrect. No physical note was left on the scene. Dr. Muhammad Sadia, president of the Muslim American Society of Staten Island, which organized the gathering, said he had to change seating arrangements in order to keep the worshippers away from the largely unaware bacon. It was scattered everywhere, he said. For me personally, I don't think it was a coincidence, but I'll let the NYPD and the appropriate law enforcement agencies deal with it, end quote. He also added, on behalf of the Muslim American Society and the Muslim community on Staten Island, I'd like to thank our elected officials who stand up for our constitutional rights and for those who made the safety of our community a priority, referring to several elected officials who denounced the Bacon Act on Monday. As for the claim made in the phone call...
Yeah, because we know how deadly bacon can be.
Exactly. As for the claim made in the phone message, he said, I will leave it for the appropriate agencies to deal with, and I cannot prove whether it's right or wrong. Anyway, yeah, we know how dangerous bacon can be. At least I didn't leave any bombs laying around like the Muslims tend to do. Oh, boy.
I swear, I was so frightened it came charging at me from out of nowhere.
Yeah, if they want to see frightening pigs, maybe they ought to go to Michigan and look at some of those wild boars with tusks that are like 8 inches long. Let those suckers loose on them, and then they can have something to worry about. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Anyway.
Well, I have a message for the Muslims when it comes to this bacon thing.
Yes.
You know, the way this pork thing got started was when Muhammad was a young man. He went off traveling, and he met up with the Jewish people and Christians. And they apparently tutored him, taught him, took him in, and he learned about the Mosaic diet. And that's where he adopted into his new religion. And, when you think about it, the Mosaic diet was given to the Jewish people as a way of setting them apart from all others, sanctifying them as a special people unto God. And when Muslims today refuse to eat pork, they are actually indirectly acknowledging the Jewish people as God's chosen ones.
Well, you know, you're right on the money, Bill, and we've talked about this before on the show. When Muhammad was just starting his religion, and after 12 years, literally only had a handful, under 100 followers, after 12 years of preaching this new Islamic religion, and most of those followers were family. What he did when he went to Medina and Mecca, because it was such a large Jewish population, was he adopted not just the food, but many other things that Jews did at that time, and still do today for that matter, many of Jewish traditions and many biblical things that Jews do, so that he would be accepted by the Jewish community in Medina and Mecca. And that is why so many things are very similar, not the same, but similar between Islam and Judaism. And it all stems from him just wanting to try and gather a following. And after he went and he met with the Jews in Mecca and Medina, and they accepted him, when he then offered them to convert to Islam and they said no, ho-ho, that's when it started, and he became a warrior. So if people go back and look, because he killed them all, if people go back and look at history and follow history, they will find that not only are you absolutely right, but that is the reason that so much of Islam follows Jewish doctrine, is because he was copying it in order to be accepted.
Well,
absolutely.
But he
did that with
people,
other religions.
People actually thought,
right?
I was kidding.
Go ahead, Rabbi, and then Risi will get you in.
I said people actually thought I was kidding when I said that Muhammad had actually studied in the yeshiva. He actually did study in the yeshiva. He was kind of booted out unceremoniously when he declared himself a prophet, and the Jewish community, the Jewish heads of the yeshiva would not accept him and asked him to leave the yeshiva. And after that, well, we know what happened with the slaughter and all that.
True. Now, Risa, you were saying that he also adopted other things from other religions.
But as he moved along, it's like the locust thing. They move from one place to another and just annihilate it and take it over. But he did that with, any religion and culture that he moved onto and wanted to take over, as he would absorb enough of it to get people on board. And then he would just take that and use that to his advantage of controlling them.
Exactly.
He did that with Christianity, too, and he screwed up, actually. He thought that the Trinity of Christian doctrine was the Father, the Son, and Mother Mary. And believe it or not, he actually put that in the Quran in chapter 5, verse 116. I got my nice, shiny new Quran here right next to me that I got from the Houston Islamic Society. Yeah. I never pay for them. I just send emails to a mosque and have them send me a free one, because you know that every dollar you send to a mosque, a portion of it goes to kill Jews and Christians. But, yeah, I have my free Quran. And if you ever want to challenge a Muslim on the correctness of the Quran, remember that verse, chapter 5, verse 116, where they think that Mary is a member of the Christian Trinity. Never was, never will be.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Yeah, so everybody, we've talked about that before on the show, too. Remember, if you want to learn get a Quran. If you want to get one for free, Google it, go online. Where did you get yours from, Bill? Because they will send them out at no charge.
Yeah, this is from the Islamic Society of Houston.
You know, if every American in this country contacted one of these agencies for a free Quran, they'd run out of them. So, you know, that's my little spiel for the day. Reese, before we go on break, there was one thing that we neglected to do, or I should say I neglected to go do at the beginning of the show. So let me do this real quick. If this button would work, something
would Well, while you're doing that, you can also get
I can't do it if you're talking, sweetie.
Well, I thought you were still looking, so I thought
I'd
throw my
AirPods. No, I just, go ahead.
I was going to say, I got my Quran from Usama Dadduk, who also has a show here on Radio Jihad Network on Saturday evenings. And his is the only translated one from Arabic to English.
Well,
am I correct with that?
It's not the only translated. They're all translated from Arabic to English. His is
right.
The most correct as far
most
as
correct.
Proper
That's
translation.
What I meant.
It took him over 3 years to translate it properly, being fluent in Arabic, to proper English, so that there's no, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, the big argument is how you interpret things. There's no interpretation needed. It is a straight-up into-English translation from Arabic, right. And the only one thus far that's ever been done.
And, you know, when you get hit a book from him, you know, your dollars are not going to support Islam. It goes into support educating about it.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, what his whole ministry is about is bringing people out of Islam into other faiths. So it's actually a good cause if you want to go and send him a couple of bucks for his Quran. No, the button I was trying to push, and for some reason these buttons aren't working, is this.
Area code 347-857-1380.
So, everybody, while we're on break, feel free to call in. Reese, at what time did you want to do our trivia question tonight?
Well, I'll go ahead and do the trivia question before we go on to break. How's that sound? Give
Sounds
people a chance
like a
to do some thinking. Our trivia question tonight, again, every week we're until Atlas Shrugged movie comes out. In the theaters, we are handing out, we're going to throw out a trivia question, and first caller who calls in with the correct answer will win a T-shirt from Atlas Shrugged Part 2, who is John Galt. So the question tonight is, and you can always find these answers, I make it so easy that even I could figure it out. You can find them at Twitter, you can find it on their Facebook page, or you can find it on their website. That's the only places I will take it. Please go to their sites. Please share their information. This is how we're going to get this out there. It's a grassroots movement. The question tonight is, as we all know, Atlas Shrugged Part 2 will be out in theaters 10/12/12, coming up. How many cities in the U.S. thus far have confirmed showings?
Say that question. Repeat that question one more time, Reese, so everybody gets it.
As of right now, how many cities in the United States have confirmed showings for Atlas Shrugged Part 2 in the theaters?
I know.
Me too.
I know, because we talked about it.
And it's
so I'll give everybody a hint. It's between 1 and 1,000. And that's how I got it right. So you got to figure out the number.
There you go. And I'll even put the question up in the chat room so that makes it easier for those in the chat. Because we don't know if they want to call in.
Somebody's telephone is ringing. Reese, are we going to play our new ad tonight?
We're going to play one of them. Yes, we will.
Cool beans. Are you going to do that after the music tonight on this one?
Not possibly.
What do you mean possibly? I want you to. How's that? Is that better?
Yes, master.
Thank you. Master my butt.
Anyway, well, as we all know, we've taken on the Star Spangled Banner Challenge with Madison Rising. So, as always, our first song is going to be Madison Rising's Star Spangled Banner. But before that, I think I'm going to have Dave Bray tell us a little bit about that.
Hey, everybody, this is Dave Bray from Madison Rising. Help Madison Rising keep the banner flying high and show everyone that you are one of the millions of hardworking people in this country that are still proud to be an American. Take the challenge at www.starspangledbannerchallenge.com. That's starspangledbannerchallenge.com.
As usual, I am loving this more and more. You know, not only are we pushing the Atlas Shrugged 2, which we definitely should, given we're a conservative station here, but this whole bit with Madison Rising and the Star Spangled Banner, I mean, we have made some great friends here on this show. And, you know, having the T-shirts compliments of Atlas Shrugged Part 2 and having Dave Bray do a commercial for us. And actually, the first commercial that Reese played was also from him. So that because of us, we told him to go ahead and do that. And it was kind of Reese and I that gave them the idea to go ahead and do that. So we are really, really blessed to have some great friends on this show. And from what I understand, Iggy Mom, that is how she is known in the chat room, has called in with the trivia question answer. Hello, Iggy Mom.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Now, is this a first-time caller?
No, second.
Okay, now, did you win a shirt before?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Reese, when are we going to start getting new people to call in with these things?
I kept track of this is because I have been trying to get it in my movie theater for weeks now.
Okay, now tell me, before you answer the question, when you answered it last time, did you get the shirt for yourself or for someone else?
For myself.
Okay, and who are you going to win this one for tonight?
Someone in the chat room, eh?
Yeah, I guess somebody will start bugging you. All right, Iggy, so we all know that on October 12th, 2012, right before the election, Atlas Shrugged Part 2 is going to open in theaters across the United States. Right now, how many theaters are slated to have that opening?
321.
Right on the money. 321 cities, not theaters. My bad. So 321 cities. That is absolutely right. I got to find my applause button real quick. I don't know where my applause button went. Oh, no. Well, we can do it this way.
I know. I'll just do it the old-fashioned way. Let's clap.
Yeah, I've been trying to get it to go
there
in my
go.
Local town for, I've sent them 15 emails now trying to get it here.
Now, have you gotten an answer from them yet as to whether or not they're going to play it?
Nope, I haven't gotten an answer back yet. I may have to go down there and actually go in and talk to the manager, so...
Well, I won't say. I was going to make a snide remark about what the manager was going to be like, but anyway, not knowing, right, I'll just keep that to myself.
They didn't get part one, but maybe people will understand, you know, part two still, even though they didn't see part one, or maybe they'll play it in a sequence. But I live in a college town, so I think it would be a very appropriate venue.
Good luck with that. If you live in a college town, if and when the manager walks out wearing an Obama 2012 T-shirt, you'll know where you're headed.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Does Reese have all your information as to where to send that?
I do.
Okay. And Reese, we got
I'm
the other...
I'm pretty sure I do. I know how to get her.
We talked over top of each other. Reese, we already sent out the other ones, right?
Everything goes out tomorrow.
Wonderful. That is great. So we're all caught up. Fantastic. Iggy, congratulations. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And I'm going to put her back on hold. She can hang up when she feels like it. Anyway, so I've got some amazing news while the rabbi and Rabbi are on the line here. And I just opened up somebody's mic, and now I've got an echo. I don't know if that's coming from now. So Rabbi and Bill, check yourselves, as it were. Okay, I think it was from Bill. And Reese muted him, or he muted himself, one or the other.
I muted him.
Okay, see if you can figure that out. So here's the story. For those that have been paying attention to my Facebook page in the last, week or so, I posted a link on my Facebook page to a website that was called rally.org, rally.org. Now, rally.org is a fundraising website, and I'm going to paste the actual link in the chat room right now. So if you're not online, but you are listening to us on another way, the actual website is rally.org/Israel News Talk. And if you go there, you can read about this new network that is coming out called INTN, which is Israel News Talk Network. Israel News Talk Network is the first English-speaking 24/7 network, and it's going to be all pro-Israel. Or as the founder said, to make a comparison, it's going to do for Israel what the Jihad, what was the name of that stupid group? Al Arabiya did for the Arab stations. So it's a pro-Israel group, and like, you know, he had said, we don't want to compare it to Al Arabiya, but they have one hell of a marketing gimmick, and that is how they get their message out there. So this is going to be the first one slated specifically for the West, for English-speaking people, most definitely the United States. INTN, the Israel News Talk Network. Go there to rally.org/Israel News Talk. You can also link from there to the INTN website. And on the INTN website, IsraelNewsTalk.com, you can familiarize yourself with the programming lineup, the different people behind the scenes, the founder, the executive producer, John Rothman, who comes from 20-plus years of broadcasting background, who's going to be joining full-time, and then one other person that I'm sure you probably have heard of, who, when everything finally starts, will be with them full-time as well. So I'm really looking forward to this, but we need your help, people. If you really, really, I don't care, you know, if it's a couple of bucks, $5, $10, whatever you can do. If you go to the rally.org site, you can actually sign up to do a monthly donation. Once they get enough money, because what we thought it was going to cost, and I say we because I've been dealing with this for months. This has been in the works for over a year. Once we get enough money, because it's a shoestring budget, to say the least, to get this off the ground, it will self-sustain. It'll sustain itself with advertisers. But right now, we're just trying to get enough money to get this launched. There is a 24 live stream right now that you can listen to of past shows, and they will change as time goes on. But we're looking for that day that it's going to be 24/7, 7 days a week. And like I said, go to that website and look over the different radio hosts, and I think you guys will be surprised. So please, once again, it's rally, rally.org/Israel News Talk. Go there, read up on it, link to INTN, to their website, listen to some of the shows, and I think you guys will like what you hear. That's my little advertisement for the night there, Reese. I think that covered it.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm really excited about this new venture of yours.
Did you just give away surprise?
Did I?
And I'll just jump right in here now.
Jump in anytime, Bill.
Yeah, I am thrilled. I'm looking at the News Talk, Israel News Talk Network right now. I love it. You know, I love making videos in support of Israel and the Jewish people, and now is not the time for silence. These guys are absolutely right. I will definitely throw my support behind this 100%.
Yeah, and while you're, you know, Bill, you just reminded me. Thank you 100%. 110%. Everybody that's in the chat room, everybody that's listening to the sound of our voices, post it on your Facebook page. Do a link down at the bottom of the rally.org website under Israel News Talk. There's a link where you can tweet it and Facebook it. Please get this out there. We need the work of the social networking, because up till now we've been doing private financing. And I'll tell you, one man who came up with this idea, who just wanted and came up one day, he woke up and said, you know, Israel really needs an English-speaking pro-Israel network. And he's been paying for this himself. And, you know, the new microphone that I'm using, the new mixer I'm using, the little studio that I'm sitting in has all been supplied by them. People are paying for this out of their back pockets. We have had no funds whatsoever. So people, you know, we're so close. And we want to get this off the ground before the election. And I'm hoping to, and praying to God, that it really happens, that it'll be before November. But if it doesn't, it should be by the first of the year. So please go there. If you can't afford to throw money that way, at least do me a favor. Post it on your Facebook. Tweet it. And don't stop with just one posting, because people look at Facebook at different hours of the day. If you're a big Facebooker, go on. You know, I know I'm looking at one name right now in the chat room. I'm not going to give away anybody's names. And if you're on Facebook a lot, keep doing it. Keep promoting that site, because the only way this is going to happen is with the help of the common people, you know, those of us that have been put on terror watch lists because we're patriotic Americans and we believe in Israel's right to exist. So since we're all terrorists, we might as well band together.
Actually, that brings up a good point. People are always asking, what can I do, what can I do? This is a proactive way of something that you can do to get the message out, to get the information out, to educate people. This is one way.
With the few minutes that we have left before we hit the 9 o'clock hour, and it went by really quick there, and then we're going to spend the rest of the hour with the rabbi and Bill talking about last week's article that was co-written with Rabbi Nachman and myself. And I want Bill's interjection on this, too. So we're going to come at it from three different angles. My perspective, the rabbi's perspective from a Judaism point of view, and then Bill's perspective from Christianity. But before we get into that, with the few minutes we've got left, I just want to tell everybody real quick. INTN, the Israel News Talk Network, is, you know, it's going to be based out of Jerusalem and New York and Washington, D.C. And we already have Israeli, what we're referring to as citizen correspondents. If you know anybody who lives in Israel who wants to get involved in this and wants to be on the radio, all they need is a computer or a cell phone, and they can be one of our citizen correspondents. We are going to be having people on the ground, boots on the ground in Israel, giving us regular updates. We're going to be having people like myself, John Rothman, Michael McGuire, doing shows. We're going to have news. We're going to have commentary. This is such a fabulous idea. If you have nothing else to listen to, if nothing's on TV, nothing's on the radio, you'll be able to tune into INTN, and it'll be all Israel all the time. And this is really, really what we need. And I just can't say anything more. I'm totally excited.
I'm thrilled. This is. We've been working hard for this.
We have. We really, really have. Rishi, we might as well take the 9 o'clock break now. And as soon as we come back, we can devote the full hour to what Rabbi Nachman and I wrote about last week in our article, Prophecy and Common Sense, and get Bill's point of view on this, because I know he's been chomping at the bit, and he and I talked about it earlier today. So what do we got lined up for music-wise for the next break?
Well, you know what? It's so funny, because we have this event that's coming up in North Carolina called Rock the Red 2012, and it is happening the same night as the DNC, September 5th. And it's kind of ironic because the DNC has come out with their Muslim Love Fest right before, I guess, on they're having some kind of...
One way of putting it.
Big whoop. So this will be interesting with the Rock the Red in the same, you know, neighborhood, I suppose. But you know what? This is awesome because we have four of our artists that we have here at America Akbar. We've got Madison Rising. They'll be performing. We have Michael Tracy. We play his music. He'll be performing. Toot Sweet. We play his music all the time. He'll be performing.
Oh, wait a minute. Real quick, I have to interrupt. Bill, go ahead and say goodnight because I see that you have to leave.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Gotti. The new sound system sounds great. We won't miss a single mistake that you make from now on. And
thank
I will.
You very much. You sound like Andrew Clinton.
Yeah, well, please get me on next week so we can. I want to get my 2 cents worth in on your article there. And thank you for having me on, everybody, and God bless America again.
Oh, Bill, thank you so much. And you know your microphone is always open, buddy. As they say, our door's always open. Please just call in next week, and we will pick up where we left off. Give Patty our love. I know you got to go pick up your other half, your better half at work. So thank you for joining us for the first hour.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And, Reese, I interrupted you in mid-sentence, so go right ahead after Toot Sweet.
Oh, that's all right. But, of course, and then we've got this young man, this wonderful guy, D-Rock, and he is also on top of doing Rock of the Red, which is launching his next venture, which is going to be the Colors I Fly tour. Him and Michael Tracy, one of the guys that we play his music here, they will be touring America with, you know, doing their music together and celebrating America. And they're doing it together. Too Sweet might be cameoing at one or two of the events. So they just, you know, keep looking out for them over there on Facebook, the Colors I Fly Tour, as well as Rock the Red 2012. Look up that information as well. So anyhow, D-Rock, I love this song, The Colors I Fly. You can't get it any better than this.
All right.
Yes, I.
Hit the button.
I did. Thank you.
September 5th at Bojangles Coliseum for Rock the Red 2012, the conservative alternative to the DNC. An evening featuring Charlie Daniels, Lee Bryce, and Travis Tritt. Pre-sale tickets are available now. Buy your tickets at rockthered.com. Join us September 5th. Limited tickets available. Visit rockthered.com today. That's rockthered.com.
Rock the Red Political Action Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising, paid for by Rock the Red, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.rockthered.com.
Welcome, fellow infidels. Gadi Edelman here with America Akbar Radio. If you're only listening to the radio show, you are only getting a small piece of what we do around here. You need to get over to GadiEdelman.com, G-A-D-I-A-D-E-L-M-A-N.com. There you can read my weekly articles that come out every Monday. You can check out my videos, and you can link up to a bunch of other great sites and really stay on top of things. So once again, for everybody here at America Akbar, keep on listening, and thanks for your support. We are back. Thank you, everybody, for hanging on through the break. Welcome back to America Akbar. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman. And with us on the line right now, we've got Rabbi Ariel Nachman. For those of you that did not read my article, gosh, it was posted all over the place, familysecuritymatters.org, GadiEdelman.com, of course, Jan Media. What is JanMorganMedia.com is the name of her page. So it was picked up by a bunch of different places and posted all over the place. And I suggest you read it. Rabbi, can you give a brief synopsis as to basically what the article was about that we did?
Well, what we did was basically look at what's been going on in the history of the Middle East, the recent history, going back to 1981, and comparing that with Torah and Talmud and scriptures, and trying to draw conclusions. And we came to the conclusion we drew that everything that was in there that you are looking for from the terrorist expert point of view, and everything that I was looking at from the rabbinical view was actually meshing to say the same exact thing. And that's exactly what we did, is we actually came up with the same conclusion at the end of the article.
Which a lot of people said, and I like your response. I don't know if you heard in the beginning of the show, a lot of people had commented on the article saying, but you didn't tell us what the future holds. And your comment to that was, read the book.
Exactly. That's the whole secret of it, is that to read the book. And the point was, is that everything that we're seeing is not new.
Exactly. And the old saying of history repeats itself.
Right. Past is prologue.
Now, if you had to, Rabbi, I don't mean to keep interrupting your thoughts, but now I'm acting like the interviewer again. If you had to sum it up, if someone out there honestly does not know the end of the book, from a rabbinical or a Jewish or a scriptural, Old Testament point of view, what is the end result? Where are we headed?
Well, I'm not going to candy coat it. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad for a while. When Mashiach comes, it's still going to be bad for a while.
And that would
but
be
at the end of that.
They don't speak Hebrew.
Yeah, that would be the Messiah. When the Messiah makes his appearance, that is, it's still going to be bad for a period of time.
Exactly.
But in the end, everything is going to be different. There is going to be a huge difference in the world. People are going to come to the realization that there is one God, and that his chosen people are the Jewish people, and they are going to bring back the Jewish people to the land, and they will bring their own sacrifices to the temple.
Now, this is where I was hoping to have Wild Bill with us. Anybody in the chat room who's a Christian might be able to answer it. If I'm not mistaken, and I certainly don't know the New Testament, but if I'm not mistaken, that's what Revelations is all about. You know, whether you believe in Judaism, where the Messiah is coming for the first time, or whether you believe in Christianity, where it would be the second time, it's the same result, is it not?
From what I understand, yes. I've read the book of Revelations, and I've studied it. And there are many parallels between what we know, what is in our writings, and what is written in the book of Revelations.
Right.
It follows very closely with the with the writings of Daniel.
See, this is the thing, you know, as far apart, and it's not that far, but for those who feel that Judaism and Christianity is very far apart, there are so many similarities. You know, people talk about the similarities between Islam and Judaism. God knows, no pun intended, between Christianity. I mean, Christianity grew out of Judaism, and anyone who's a Christian is well aware of that. So, you know, the similarities and more than similarities are there. And if I'm not mistaken, that is exactly what Revelations is all about. Only the only difference would be that in Christianity, the belief would be that it's Jesus's or the Messiah's second coming, whereas in Judaism, we're still waiting for the first.
Right. And then there's not even agreement on that. As we know that even among the great scholars, among the great Talmudic scholars even, there was disagreement. There was the two Mashiach idea. There's the one Mashiach idea, and then there is even the three Mashiach idea.
Right. Now, you and I had started talking the other day, and this was, you know, well after the article came out, about, you know, the problem in Israel, and we can give everybody a brief synopsis. There was an article that I posted on my website, my Facebook page, caused a lot of brouhaha between myself and a person who I consider to be a friend on my Facebook page, where we started arguing back and forth because it was about some Jews that had been arrested in Israel for basically attempting to murder what was being called a lynching of totally innocent, totally unsuspecting, totally did nothing Arabs for no other reason than they were Arabs. And I posted this article on my Facebook page about how Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, had come out against it. And basically he said, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember the exact quote, but he said, as Jews, we don't do this. This is violence. This is racism. We do not pick on people just because of what group that person may come from. That's not the Jewish way. And that created, when I posted that article, it created this argument back and forth because the individual was saying, well, wait a minute. How come the Arabs can get away with it? They can just terrorize Israelis whenever they feel like it, and they don't seem to get arrested. But then when the Jews do it, they get arrested. So this is where the argument ensued, and it brought you and I to our conversation about liberalism, and you asked me a very interesting question that we wanted to get into tonight.
Right, and I was looking, and it was exactly because of that debate that was going on between the two of you, and you're taking the stance with Netanyahu saying that we're Jews, we don't do this, and the other one say, well, it's about time we start doing this, and it just started clicking in my head going, you know, has the leftist and liberal agenda and political stances in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, gotten the Jewish people to the point where they've had enough and they're on the brink? Because we've seen Jews were forcibly evicted from Gaza.
Right.
All those businesses that were in Gaza were turned over to the Palestinians, who immediately destroyed them. They burned the synagogues and everything. Judea and Samaria, settlements being ripped down. Our own people.
Yes.
Forcibly
being removed from their homes.
Yeah, they want to call them settlements. They're not settlements. These are towns and villages.
Yes.
And then being taken out of there. And we see illegal settlements by Arabs being built, and they are left alone. And the people are getting to the point where they're saying, there's a double standard here, and it's a politically correct double standard, which favors the oppressor over the people of the land. And have we gotten to the point, a tipping point, a hinge factor, if you will, that people are fed up, and because in general Israel is a secular society, Are we getting to the point where we're going to see more of this going on?
Well, you know, now I want to make this clear because I want to explain what the argument on the Facebook page was about. I came back and I told this individual, you know, if we're no better than them, we being Jews or anyone for that matter, I don't care what religion you're from, if you start picking on Arabs or Muslims just because they're Arabs or Muslims and you start beating the hell out of them just because they're Arabs or Muslims, then we are no better than they are. I've never advocated violence. I would prefer that we go about this in a nonviolent manner. Yes, I know how difficult, if impossible, that may be. But his argument was that he had heard a different side of the story, and I posted an eyewitness account to this so-called lynching. And what had occurred, according to the eyewitnesses, was that these Arabs were walking through a very Jewish area of Jerusalem, an area that I know very well, called Zion Square. And for those that don't know my biography, go to GottiEdelman.com and read my bio, and you'll know why I know Zion Square so well. But they were walking through Zion Square, and they were started to get yelled at that they were dirty Arabs. Then they started to chase them, kick them, beat them while they were on the ground, and nearly killed these boys. So the eyewitness account was they had done nothing other than walking down the street. My argument to the individual on my Facebook page was when he said, we need to stand up, you know, I heard that they were beating up two girls and that's when the other people got involved. Well, yes, if that were the case, if it were a case where anyone were beating up anyone, be it girls, boys, old men, old women, I don't care. If Arabs are beating up on Jews, then yes, you have every right to go after them. You have every right to in self-defense, to stop them and then continue to beat the hell out of them. I don't have a problem with it if that was what happened. But by all accounts that I could find, including the police witness reports, that's not what occurred in this particular case. So, I want to make it clear, Rabbi, I'm sure that you're on my side with that. You know, violence, what's the word I'm looking for?
Begets.
Thank you. Begets. Violence begets violence, and that's not what we're about. If it were a self-defense motive, yes, absolutely. Go beat the hell out of them. But if they were just walking down the street minding their own business and somebody screamed at them, you're dirty Muslims, and started to beat the hell out of them, that to me is wrong. And that person is no better than the terrorists we bitch about week in and week out on this show.
Yeah, but you can understand the frustration on the part of the other person in the conversation and many in Israel when there are certain areas Jews are not allowed to go into.
I agree.
And if they go into those areas, the chances of them coming out are slim to none. And it gets to the point where why are the Arabs getting preferential treatment in here and they can throw stones off of the top of the Western Wall onto the old men standing at the wall praying and get away with it?
Oh, and it goes far beyond that, Rabbi, and you know I agree with you. If anybody has looked at the news day in and day out, and there's an amazing picture, I won't call it a wonderful picture, an amazing picture that was posted on either Israel National News or YNetNews.com, I can't remember which one, where a photographer captured a cinder block just as it was about inches from this woman's windshield as she was driving through an Arab neighborhood, an Israeli woman, and in Judea and Samaria, the daily, and I mean daily occurrences of rock throwing that goes on, rocks kill people. When you throw a cinder block at a windshield of a car, at I don't care who's driving it, and it's going in the opposite direction, in other words, she was headed into this cinder block, you figure 45, 55 miles an hour, plus the speed of that brick coming through your window, that can kill. And this goes on a daily basis in Israel.
Well,
understand their frustration, Rabbi. Believe me, I more than anyone know that. But I also know from personal experience, when I once got lost, and this is a story I've never told on this show, I got lost once, it's very easy to do, in the old city of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the old city of Jerusalem has different sections. It has a Jewish section, a Christian section, and yes, an Arab section. I found myself in the Arab section all alone. I was about 16 years old. I did not have a weapon. And the person that literally saved my life that day was a Muslim man who took me out, kept the other people that wanted to rip me limb from limb because I was a Jew apart, wanted to rip me apart, pardon me. He walked me out and took me back to the Jewish section. So, you know, I've had experiences myself where there are good people out there. And who the hell knows whether or not these two guys that got beat up in Jerusalem wasn't a relative, or even better, the individual that may have saved me.
Well,
kind of mind-boggling.
I agree with everything that you're saying. Okay, I'm getting a little hot under the collar because today we hear from our illustrious State Department.
Yes.
With all the stuff going on in Israel, in the Middle East, this is the incident that they decide to get their panties in a bunch over.
That's one way of putting it.
Condemnation. The terrible Jews beating up on the poor Arabs again. I mean, this is one incident out of how many? How many incidents like this have we had?
I hear you.
Yeah, not many.
I hear you.
I think the last one that even came close to this was Baruch Goldstein.
You know, and I think it was you that pointed it out on Facebook. When did we ever hear them get up in arms the way they did about this so-called lynching in reference to, 10,000 rockets landing in Sderot from Gaza?
Exactly.
You know, we don't hear, our State Department, look, our State Department, our government for that matter, picks and chooses what they want, and we all know where they lie as far as their view on Israel. This is not a shock or a surprise to me. So, leaving the U.S. State Department out of it, I understand how that's getting you hot under the collar. The only way we're going to change that is come November by putting somebody like Romney and Ryan in office versus Obama and Gaff Biden.
Yeah. Now, everybody keeps wanting to, they were asking us about the prophecy thing, the prophecy question. And, I wanted to explain that a little bit, if you don't mind.
No, go right
ahead.
Because
There's a lot of conjecture about a lot of the books of the prophets and stuff. And I went through this and I write, and God, he knows. I mean, I sent you four drafts, right?
Yes. People think that you and I were sitting back and forth on a couch having this conversation, but that's the way we made the article look. That's not really how it was done.
So I was racking my brains. I was going through all these prophecies and stuff like that, and I'm going, well, it says this, but, Rabbi so-and-so said this referred to this period of time, and Rabbi so-and-so said that this, it referred to this period of time. And if you look at the prophets, a lot of them have to do with what was going on at that time or was going to happen in the immediate future.
Right.
So when I went back into it and I started looking at it and thinking about this, I said, well, there's really only one that we can actually look at that we know has to deal with this time here, and that's the book of Daniel. Because Daniel had two dream interpretations and two prophecies, and they aren't even listed among the prophecies. So here's your Bible lesson for tonight is that the prophecies of Daniel are not even listed as prophecies. They're listed as writings because they were sealed for later generations, far down the road, when these things would all come about. So if you really want to understand what's going on in the Middle East as far as prophetically, you have to go, and don't go to just the entire book of Daniel. You have to go to the latter part of the book of Daniel from about chapter 10 to 12 because that's where those prophecies are. But we can go beyond the Torah. I mean, for prophecy. We saw it time and again. The most famous that everybody would probably know, I could name hundreds of rabbis, but the one that probably most people would know would be Menachem Mendel Schneerson,
mm-hmm.
Rabbi Schneerson, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Many prophecies. Talked about the 67, the Six-Day War.
Right.
A week before it actually happened. And he said that God is already protecting the Holy Land and the salvation will soon come. And he assured his Hasidim that all Israelis would be okay. He railed against the ceasefire with Egypt, saying that it was a foolish move to have the ceasefire because it was just allowing Egypt to remilitarize the areas that they had been kicked out of already. In the article, we actually talk about Schneerson, what he said, and we missed the date on it. The date that we said was 1970. The article was that we got the quote from was actually wrong. I believe the correct date of that was 78-79, where he talked about what a foolish thing that the peace accord would
probably
never stand.
78, yeah.
Yeah, that it wouldn't stand. It was a basically a fool's errand to think that because at that point they had already broken the accord multiple times leading up to this. And then if we go back even farther, we have the famous dream of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov.
Why does his name sound familiar?
Yeah. I was named for Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. That's why my middle name is Nachman. But Rabbi Nachman of Breslov in 1807 had a dream. And he actually had two dreams. Basically starting out the same way, but having different outcomes.
Starting out the same way, I have a dream? No.
Starting out with the man in the middle. I sent you this.
Yes, I read it.
Okay. And I've been working on this for 6 years. And I don't know how many times I've had to restart because of what's been going on in the world. Because something will happen, I'll go, wait a minute. You know, this changes my whole outlook on this. What the Rebbe's first dream was a warning. It was a prophetic warning to the Jewish people about the Holocaust. And what is in that dream is exactly what happened in the Holocaust. Now, he also tells us there was going to be another period like that. Same thing. It's going to be a very dark time. However, the outcome is going to be completely different than the first dream. And the reason is, this time, Mashiach will come. The Messiah will come.
Right.
These dreams are very dark, very mysterious. Rabbis have been studying these things since the 1800s. But it's only until things started lining up, like the man in the middle in the first dream, and we know that, I could get into the whole mystical thing of it about the Chofetz Chaim being passed away, being the last Tzaddik of the generation, the last righteous man of the generation, and shortly after his death, Adolf Hitler came into power.
Mm-hmm.
The Rebbe talked about the dark times that would happen, how the Jews would fight against themselves, which is the most incredible thing, is that it was because we did not pull together as people. We were not cohesive. It's just like when we came out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. We were not a cohesive people.
Right.
Not until we came to Sinai did we actually become a nation. And at that point, there was no army in the world who could stand against us. But during the diaspora, we had the the different, we had the rational Judaism, which was the Reform. We didn't have the conservative at that point. They didn't come until a little bit later. But we had the Orthodox, which was called the Midnagadim, and the Hasidim.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that constant fighting between them, excommunicating each other and denigrating each other in front of people and stuff like that. And that's exactly why we lost the first and second temples, the Beit HaMikdash, was because we didn't treat each other correctly. We
now,
didn't
Rabbi,
treat each other as a family.
When we come back, and that's a hint, when we come back from break, what I want to do is take that to modern day times and talk about what you and I spoke about on Skype the other day, about what's going on in Israel and what we think causes the two different sides and two different points of views. And I know you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to give it away for those listening. When we come back from break, the rabbi and I are going to have a conversation about what's currently going on in Israel. Call it the infighting, if you will, with the Israelis, the different points of view that are within Israel that you just don't hear about here in the United States. God knows we never hear about anything with the mainstream media. And we're going to get into that as soon as we get back. Reese, what do we have lined up for a song for the last half hour here?
Well, you know what? I thought a little bit different feel tonight. How about a little bit of Toots Sweet and his song American Made? And you can find him at tootssweet.com.
My first kiss behind the high school bleachers. My mom's meatballs, my grandma's sauce, and Nicky's cookies, chocolate smarts. Four with dental hygiene floss. Sinless dog and hands can make a chocolate chewy dental floss. California seeing its size, getting drunk, looking up at the Napa Valley moonshine. Gazing at the stars in a Hollywood night as the stars walk by my side. I heard Lady Liberty lost her crown. As I was searching for my country at the lost and found, fell in love at first sight, messing around. He had the cutie through the nose against the window at the door he found. When I'm calling, I get scolded, take sucks when I'm stirring and you're yawning. Big wheel, G.I. Joes and yo-yos and my cousin's fool playing Marco Polo. My girl bought a best friend, it was a no-no. I tried to get the boat, but I ended up solo. Now think I'm longer by small talk, fancy cars, all that bling, reading books. Holding hands with no shopping out in Atlantic City boardwalk, I'm reading with plastic forks. So please, no tears at my wedding, cause it might not last. No tears at my funeral, have a blast. And talk about the good times we spent together. The stories that you tell them make it last forever. Enjoy a while, last, nothing lasts forever, and always make the best of all bad endeavor. But I know when I say when.
man and never say never. And never settle, live your life, enjoy it over. But never, whoever's over the wiser. A little more clever, I'm super sore loser. But I'm getting better by staying clear of family vendettas. I'm just like Jay-Z, I'm New York forever. See John Gotti after dark, San Gennaro down Mulberry Street. Sausage and peppers, all you can eat. Hanging at the schoolyard, playing stickball till the sun went down, or you couldn't throw the ball no more. 6 p.m. was dinner time, showed up late with your behind. And it's a fine line between dreams and delusions. Separate pieces and mere solutions. Skipping the mind, committing crime, doing time like a crime. Spending time with some time, out of time, a revolution. I got a vote as I stay, watching concerts underneath the Jones Beach Causeway. Hanging with Liberty Leo and a stray cat. Jamming with John, the cat, Gatto, Joey, Fuko, and a good rat. I'm moving slow, it's time moves faster. Before you know it, life flies out past ya. I'm torn between starting a brand new chapter. Coming in the story, living happily ever after. Feeling all alone, searching for a dial tone. With a busy scene before a ringtone in a dead zone. Lost in cyberspace, sifting through the twilight zone. I just keep looking for a smartphone. Thinking back to better days. Similar times, similar ways. It seems every generation gets stuck in its past. Working harder than the present, more efficient than its last. Baseball, hot dogs, the glory days. Levi's, Apple Pie, Chevrolet's. Quality was the American way, and it was made right here in the U.S. of A.
I was American made. I was born in America, made in the U.S.A. I'm American made. I was born in America, made in the U.S.A.
Visitors to George's Gin Joint include Bear Grylls, the Survivalist, Godfather Don Corleone, former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, Secretary of the Department for Bitch Slapping Hilda, Darth Vader, even President Richard Nixon popped in. So come visit the hottest place for happy hour every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and show the world that you have an American view.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Bray of Madison Rising, and you're listening to America Akbar with Gotti Adelman and Reese on Blog Talk Radio. His virtue
was felt by all.
Lech Kapara Alai. Gotta love Sarit Haddad. We are back. Thanks for sticking with us through the break, everybody. I love that show ID too. Go ahead, Rabbi.
I want to do the lead in.
Okay, go for it.
You know, because of the music that was just on.
Oh, okay.
So, yo, this is the Rav kicking it with my dog, Gedalia. Just a couple of OGs.
Oh my gosh! Where is the applause when we need it? Wait a minute, this is a
better one.
I don't
know, but that was too funny.
Here you go, Reese. Now, any other time the rabbi would do that, this is what you would hear. Kicking it old school. You said, who was it that did that bit? Christopher Walken. Oh my gosh. Anyway, I'm having flashbacks again. Welcome back to America Akbar. As you can see, we are totally 100% serious 100% of the time. Rabbi, you had asked me a question the other day on Skype about whether or not I... What are you giggling at, young lady?
Morty and Chet just said the rabbi is down with it.
Hey, I'm fat and dope and stupid and all that stuff.
Sorry.
Hey, Rab, can I, and we're just going to call you Rab when you're in that mood. So, Rab, can we tell everybody what you showed me on Skype today?
Yeah, just don't mention the caliber.
No, I
won't
mention.
Just assume, keep that a surprise.
Well, I won't mention the caliber, but Rabbi and I were on Skype today, and we've got each, you know, the video on, and he says to me, I bought myself a new birthday present, and whips out this gorgeous semi-auto pistol, which I might add was on his hip. So there's a rabbi that's definitely kicking it.
Well, I tell you, like you and like a lot of other the conservative people on Blog Talk, I do get a lot of death threats. And my answer is always, the rabbi carries, the rabbi is a qualified marksman, and bring it on.
The one good thing, I got to just mention this before we get into it, Rabbi. The one good thing about bringing it on to the rabbi is at least someone will be able to give you what you would refer to as last rites after it's all over. Anyway, so Rabbi, we were on Skype the other day and we started talking about, and I don't remember how you asked it to me, so I'll let you ask again, about whether or not I felt Israel had painted itself into a corner, for lack of a better term.
As far as it regards
the liberalism,
the liberalism, yeah. Have we gotten to that point where, I know better. I know better than that because I know the prophecies, and that's where a big problem comes, is because a lot of people don't understand what the prophecies are regarding this. Now, I'm part of an initiative with a number of other rabbis, okay, that Jews are Jews. There is no reform. There is no conservative. There is no Orthodox. There is no Hasidic. We're all Jews, and we need to start behaving that way. And what people don't understand is that the prophecies, they said, well, you know, everybody's got to be good. No. That's completely wrong. We have the Satmar Hasidim, and we have other groups of Hasidim that I won't even mention because they go hang out with the likes of Ahmadinejad. But they say we should not be in Israel. And again, I say it's a misunderstanding of the prophecies, because the prophecies tell us that when Mashiach comes, that Mashiach ben Yosef will lead the armies of Israel to reestablish the borders back to the promise. Okay, to reestablish the borders with an army means you have to have an army. You have to have a country.
But
when Mashiach ben David comes along, he will rebuild the temple, he will reinstitute the priesthood, and he will lead the people back to Hashem, which means that the land of Israel has to be primarily secular for that to happen. So all of these things, even though, you know, it's really creating a lot of problems, are directly in line with the prophecies that say we have to have a land, we have to have an army, and the majority of the people have to be secular.
But the question that you had posed to me specifically was whether or not the situation that Israel is in right now basically isn't Israel to blame for it, you know, and this is obviously not all of Israel as a whole, but a good many people, you know, let's just start from the very beginning.
Was channeling Kahani, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
When this happened, and I was in Israel at the time, you know, it made me scream from the rooftops then, the phrase occupied territory, Israel created that term. Israel was the first one to use that terminology. had the leadership of Israel never mentioned the words occupied, they wouldn't be referring to the Gaza Strip, which is no longer occupied by Israel anyway, the West Bank, Judea, Samaria, or any of these other, the Sinai, Golan Heights. It's not occupied territory. We don't call Texas occupied territory. We don't call California occupied territory. We don't call any of the countries that we went in and liberated, where be it France or Italy or Japan, we don't refer to them as occupied territories. You know, look at Germany today. Do they still refer to East and West Berlin? Do they still refer to it as occupied territory? No, it's their country. So why is Israel different? Israel created that terminology. They set that standard, and the then Arabs, because they weren't called Palestinians then, jumped on it.
Well, they created it to appease
the world.
The world, exactly.
Well,
we have to start forgetting about the world, because the world doesn't care what's going to happen to us anyway. We know that.
Well, then,
and all we got to do is look at what's going on now. Look what happened in Germany. They made circumcision illegal.
Exactly.
Again.
Yeah. Again. Exactly.
And as I pointed out, it doesn't really mean anything. I mean, because if the Greeks couldn't do it to us under penalty of death, what chance do the Germans have? I bet I would be willing to bet you right now that there will be more children, more baby boys circumcised now that they've made it illegal than there were before.
The problem that we have, Rabbi, and this is what you and I spoke about. I keep trying to bring us back to that point of the conversation.
I'm sorry.
Because we only got like 15 minutes left. The problem that we have now in Israel, and you and I discussed this the other day, and I brought out a very good point that I hadn't really thought about until you and I talked about it, was that most Israelis, especially the younger generation, they don't know from war. Because
right.
The last time Israel was involved in an all-out, all-front war was 1973. That's ancient history to a lot of these young kids. They were
born. Well, let me ask you this. Now, in the schools, how do they treat the teaching of what happened in the War of Independence and the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur War? Yeah, is it all politically correct, or do they actually tell the truth?
Honestly, Rabbi, not being there at this point in time and knowing how much has changed, I really don't know. When I went to school there, I graduated high school.
A couple of Alter Cockers anyway, so.
Things were a little bit different. We still had blackboards when I was in school, so. we didn't even have computers. No, but in all seriousness, I graduated high school in Israel before, I'm not going to give away my age, before 1980. I graduated in 78. So, what they're learning now, I have no clue. I really have no clue whether or not they teach the same curriculum as to when I would hope they still teach it. I would hope that the people that grow up in Israel learn about 1948, 1956, 1967, 1973, and not just about 1985 and 1996, whatever year it was recently when we went back into Lebanon. Because those weren't all-out, all-front wars. Those were wars where the entire army was not involved. Many people saw action, but many people didn't. And things have changed so much now. You and I talked about the term being Lebanized. Many of your Israeli soldiers went into Lebanon and came out refusing to follow orders because of things that occurred during the Lebanese Hezbollah, back then PLO, war. And you've got a whole new generation of Israelis that are these hold hands, sing kumbaya, let's just give them what they want because they don't know any different and all they want is to live in peace. And they think being the operative word, that that's the way to achieve it.
Well, right. I mean, we'll go back to Rabbi Lior, who co-authored the the King's Torah, Torah HaMelech, which details the dealing with the nations, the rules of war for the king, and so on and so forth. What happened to these guys? They're simply putting down what the actual laws from the Torah were regarding war. They ended up getting arrested.
Right.
I can't even get a copy of the Sefer. I've been trying for, since it came out, to get a copy of it. I can't even get a copy of it. And they cry racist. They cry, you know, that, the rabbis are saying, kill everybody that's not Jewish and stuff. And that's not true. What they were simply trying to do was clarify for the soldiers what their responsibilities were according to the Torah, the laws of the Torah, to try and take all the gray out of it because there's too much gray.
You know, people need to understand, you know, we are in the year 2012, and everybody, with the exception of people that made the military their career, everybody serving in the military in the IDF and the Israeli Defense Forces right now was born well after that country saw its last war.
Right.
They don't have the comprehension of what it's like when that country has to fight an enemy to its east, to the north, to the south, and yes, even to the west with the Navy on the Mediterranean. And they have no concept when every single male above the age of 18 disappears to be on the front lines, when the entire country stops because there's nobody left to work, when there aren't even buses running because the bus drivers are on the front lines, when factories aren't running, when everything 24/7 just comes to a halt. They have no concept of that. And they
It's like what we were discussing. We were kind of comparing that
to Vietnam.
This mindset, exactly, to Vietnam. Because most of the people that are coming up and getting into office nowadays and are the ones that are most vocal and leading in politics and stuff like that don't remember Vietnam.
Exactly.
They were born during that.
You know, and you, for lack of a better term, for those that know history, you could refer to many of the Israelis that I'm referring to as being Lebanized as Kent Staters. And for anybody who goes back far enough and remembers Vietnam and remembers what occurred in Kent State, this is the way they look at it. They're the peaceniks. They're the ones that don't want a war. And nobody wants war. There isn't one person in Israel who's chomping at the bit to go to war. They know what the next war is going to bring. And we talked about that on this show not that long ago, either last week or the week before, when I quoted Albert Einstein, who during a lecture at Princeton University was asked about what would happen in World War III, and he said, back in the 1950s, mm-hmm, I don't know what kind of weapon they're going to use in World War III, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. Israel knows what is coming.
And the liberals will try to outlaw sticks and stones.
Exactly. Cut all your trees down. You can get a stick. You've got a weapon on your property. Cut that tree down. I mean,
no,
yeah.
But they're actually absolutely right. I mean, look at it. Look at the situation now. You know, where the United States has been and pressuring everybody to back off of Iran, and I mean, Just like your guest last week, John, who I love listening to. I could listen to him all night.
John Wilson.
He pointed out that, you know, Israel doesn't have a choice in the matter. They have until X date to do something, and then the window closes. And then it's too late.
Exactly, but look at just the newspaper today. Just the newspaper today in Israel, how it's talking about all of these people who are either former high up in government, high up in the Israeli Defense Forces, generals, defense ministers, former Mossad heads, that would be like the CIA, saying we cannot go to war with Iran. So you've got right now this infighting in Israel.
Why? We can't go to war with Iran because of what?
Because if the Israel goes to war with Iran, you are going to have a bloodbath on both sides. And eventually, someone's going to drop a nuclear bomb.
What did John say last week?
It's going to happen regardless.
He said that they won't go to war because they can't trust that the United States will be there to back them up. Okay, and then this goes back to our rather heated discussion a number of weeks ago where I was making the point that taking foreign aid from the United States was crippling Israel.
Right. Israel does not know whether or not the United States has its back, and for lack of a better way of saying it, Israel leans to the fact, as I read from the statistics last week, most Israelis don't believe that America has Israel's back. If Israel were to go, look at what's coming out of Iran just in this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, they are saber-rattling because they want a war with Israel. They are chomping at the bit to be able to do it, and they know if Israel attacks, the world will not blame them for having a counterattack. And that's why I'm saying it's going to be a bloodbath, because the United States won't step in.
Well, yeah. Yeah, not this administration, they won't.
And just today, by the way...
The biggest problem is, is they're depending on man.
Yes.
And that's exactly when Joseph went to Egypt, and he was thrown in the prison, and he's in there with the chamberlain of the cupbearers and the chamberlain of the bakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he interprets the dreams, and the chamberlain of the bread, the bakers, ends up getting hung. The chamberlain of the cups is restored to his post. Yosef says to him, remember me before Pharaoh. And what does the chamberlain of the cups immediately do? He forgets him completely. Why did he forget him completely? Because Yosef put his faith in man rather than God. That's where the problem is in Israel.
Now,
they're not putting their faith in God, they're putting their faith in men, and they cannot trust them.
I know, and I hate to cut you short when you're going on one of your Reb sermons there, but we've only got about 2 minutes left on the show, and Reese's muted. Reese, is your on-air stream time left? Because my clock is not working, and I can't see exactly how much time we've got left.
You know what? It's not showing either for me.
Yeah, we've been having some issues with the studio tonight.
So it's 2 minutes and 5 seconds.
Well, I'm glad somebody can see it. but, you know, the problem, as I was saying, and the rabbi's right, you know, if Israel puts its faith in man rather than God, we're back to square one with looking at prophecy and problems that have happened in the past. But if you just go to the Israeli newspapers today, every single one of them, regardless of which one you go to, top story, Iran is expanding its nuclear capacity underground. Western diplomats are now saying that the Islamic Republic has installed hundreds of enrichment centrifuges in the Fordo facility. And Israelis, members of the Knesset, the parliament, are saying Israel is prepared for all scenarios. This is the lead in, the headline on every single one. So, Reese, according to my blog talk thingy, we are actually off the air. Did we just go off?
Well, I don't know. I don't.
That's weird.
Say.
It's telling me we've got a minute left, so I'm going to wrap it up because I'm really not sure what's going on tonight with the studio. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us here tonight on America Akbar. Rabbi, as usual, thank you so much. Kol HaKavod, great show. And real quick, I'm going to hit this button before we go off the air so that we can play our outgoing music. And we will see everybody here, same time, same station, at 8 o'clock next week on Thursday. Reese, as usual, say goodnight, Reese.
Good night, Reese.
Fighting jihad before it was cool, warning us of terror and Sharia rules, seeking truth to power on the radio. A lighthouse in the storm to his fellow infidel. America Akbar, fellow.
I'm not sure exactly when it cut us off, because it's showing record on the top left of mine like it would after we were off the air.
Yeah, but it's not giving me any numbers, and I just refreshed everything as well, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, I feel, now we are, because I heard the girl say 10 seconds, so.
Oh, well, it's more than I hear. But the rabbi, he's already dropped out for the night, so.
Yes, I know. All right. I'm going to get this sucker in the can so we can podcast it, and you and I will talk to each other on the other side. Thank you for a wonderful show, and I can't wait to hear how the podcast sounds with this new studio set up. So you have a good night, my dear, and we will see you next week. And once again, say good night, Reese.
Good night, Reese.